Lindsay from MERP, and I'm here with Cricket of Eyes of Arcane and his dad, Curtis. How are you guys this morning?
Doing good, doing good.
Doing well.
I met you, Curtis, at one of Cricket's shows, and we got to talking about the guitars that you made for him. And so I wanted to sit down with the two of you and just kind of talk about how that all came to be, because it's pretty cool.
Yep.
Cricket, you're left-handed, mm-hmm. so that's what brought on this sort of challenge. Mm-hmm. Tell me how you learned to play guitar. What did you first learn to play on?
So I first learned to play on a regular left-handed guitar, kind of. I guess technically it would go back to the acoustic, wouldn't it? The acoustic.
The original guitar that I have is an acoustic right-handed.
Classical acoustic.
My wife bought it for me. It was a Harmony from J.C. Penney. And then we also had a three-quarter guitar, which was a Lotus brand that I had bought from my daughter. These are the two guitars he first started playing on. Mm-hmm.
So did you play right-handed or did you play up?
I played left-handed because he went and restrung them. And, you know, that's just how it was, left-handed guitar playing. And then later down the line, what ended up eventually happening was the guitar that I'd gotten, because I'd gotten into electric guitar and started learning how to play rock and roll and metal and starting to dip my toes into that scene. And my guitar had eventually, it just stopped working. You know, I don't know. We just didn't really have the means to fix it, I don't believe, at the time.
It was an Ibanez Geo. It was a student guitar that I had bought him with a Laney amp. Mm-hmm. And one of the pickups quit. And it finally just sort of died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, with it being done, I was like, oh, I have to play guitar. And he had a few right-handed guitars on it, and I just kind of was... I remember I was sitting down with... I think it was your acoustic. It was either your acoustic or your... what was it? Your red, like...
Japanese I had a Stratocaster kit guitar that I had put together.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was that. And so I basically was in the middle of nowhere and needed to play guitar, so I said, screw it, if Jimi Hendrix could do it, so could I. That was the funny part, was because Jimi Hendrix didn't play upside down, he played normally, he just restrung the guitar. And so, you know, I had that misconception, and so I was like, well, screw it, if he can do it, so can I. Which is a real pompous statement to make, because it's like, not necessarily...
No, but he didn't restring it. He literally just flopped it over and began playing it.
Yeah, I figured I grew up looking through, like, I had this one Carvin guitar magazine from when I was a kid, just looking through this magazine all the time, like looking at how I want to build my guitar and how I want to put all these pieces together. And I noticed that left-handed options just weren't options. They really weren't. And so I figured, well, why spend the money on options when I don't have to spend the money on those options, because he had guitars right then and there. So I was like, well, I might as well just get used to playing upside down, because my options will be greater and I'll be able to broaden my market as far as a player goes.
Curtis, do you play as well?
I tinker.
Yeah?
I can play a few minor little songs. I mostly enjoy working on them and building them.
Okay. So how was the discussion when your dad said, hey, I can build you something that will be better than a left-handed guitar and you won't have to play right-handed upside down?
That was a cool moment for me. The fact that he built these guitars, it still blows my mind. Like, it's just crazy to me. And so we had gotten into a situation where we were guitar shopping through companies here and there and trying to figure out what I wanted. And I just like, man, I just got this. I want this body. Like, I want this guitar style. I want it so bad. And so we figured it out. We hit up a few companies, and the companies, you know, for the most part, either were willing to work with us or were not. You know, it was just kind of shopping around. You know how it is. And so we were talking to a company out of Poland. Now, why don't you take over this next part? Because, you know, your phone call to me is kind of pretty...
Well, I there was a bit of a time crunch, just to kind of give you a premise to what was going on. I have no doubt in my mind that there are many good luthiers and custom guitar builders out there. And what we were looking at was kind of a brand name association, if could do something. I just didn't have the time to spend 6 months or a year researching and finding that special guy who would do what I wanted. So we went to a few companies, I won't mention who they are, and asked them if they would be willing and to indulge in what we were asking them to build. And they declined. And I finally got to a point, especially when I went to the overseas company, it was terribly expensive, and I wasn't real sure they could do what I wanted or give us what we were needing. Mm-hmm. And it was looking like Cody was going to be going into the studio pretty quick to work on their album. He did not have a good guitar. He had an older guitar that was it was having issues. And so he says, you know, Pops, what are we going to do? And I said, well, let's find you a temporary guitar, which we came up. I went to a pawn shop and found the Schecter 8-string, took it home, rebuilt it, put new electronics in it and pickups in it so he could have a temporary stopgap. It was right-handed. Unfortunately, finding left-handed guitars is very difficult. So it was okay, but it wasn't what he needed in reference to making the sounds and tones that he wanted for his album. And I finally called him up and I said, look, I can't find a guitar company that's going to respond to what we want. Mm-hmm. And I said, how about I just build you one?
And that was the cool moment. It was like when you said that too, because I remember I was sitting there and you'd said that and all of a sudden, like usually I don't know what happens with that sometimes, because usually I have this like mindset that if it's not a company brand, it's not going to be any good. Every musician has that mindset. And so that was the first time I actually, like when you said that, I was stoked. I was like, yeah, I trust your skills 1,000-fold. I've grown up watching you build some of the most craziest things in the world, like to me, in my world, I should say.
So that's what I wanted to ask you. How most people would say, their dad would say, oh, I'll build you a guitar, and they'd be like, okay. How did you feel like you could do that?
Well, all of my life and for most of my professional career, I have been a craftsman and a designer and an engineer, if you want to. And I've worked with machine shops, and I have been a machinist and mechanic. I'm very mechanical and have built quite a few different products. I used to be into manufacturing, still am. And so I had the skills and the talents there available to do it. I had built one guitar previously for Cody. That was 15 years ago. We call it the Shark Guitar. Now, we laugh every time we talk about it. He came home from woodshop from high school, and he said, I got this body. I want to make a guitar. He had cut out this really wanky left-handed body. That was it. It was just a piece of wood.
Very BC Rich inspired.
And it was interesting.
It was bad.
Like a warlock or that kind of.
Kind of.
Actually, yeah. But it was really rough. And I said, okay, we'll make something. I shopped around for a neck. Found one at Ron's Guitars over in Hermiston. And didn't have a head on it. It was just a neck. And he said, here, just take it. He said, I took it home, and we formulated this guitar, and we call it the Shark Guitar because the head is actually in the shape of a shark's head. It looks pretty cool, but it's really strange.
It's such a Frankenstein. Like, it's an absolute...
I cannibalized the electronics out of an old Strat that I had, and I built his first guitar. I wouldn't call it a polished piece. It was just kind of... something we put together. Sounded excellent, still does. I'm in the middle of restoring it right now, as a matter of fact. That was the first guitar he got, and he used it and played it quite a bit. He also had the Geo at the same time, mm-hmm. So he had both guitars. That was the first guitar I'd built for him. I had put together several kit guitars in years previous to and after that, so I had experience with guitars. It wasn't like I was ignorant of what a guitar was to try and make one. Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at them now, and you're left-handed. I'm looking at you. Is this the first one or the second one?
Number two.
The blonde and maroon one, mm-hmm. Number two. And I'm not a guitarist, so please understand my ignorance here. The small string is on the top. Mm-hmm. And like a right-handed guitar, the heavy string would be on the top. Mm-hmm. So that is set up that way because you learned to play.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was, rather than just buying a left-handed guitar and... what is the major difference that you looked for in the neck and the setup that you couldn't find easily?
Well, no one makes a guitar like this. First off, it's a left-handed body with a right-handed neck. What makes it more of a right-handed neck than anything is that it's fan fret. Mm-hmm. And it's not a fan fret for a left-hand guitar, it's a fan fret for a right-hand guitar. Mm-hmm. It's upside down. So if I were to take and hold this in my hand, it would actually be a right-handed guitar. So it's actually strong a right-handed guitar. I can play this as a right-handed guitar.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it just doesn't have the cutout here so you can get to your lower, higher
string
notes. Okay, that's the way that he wanted it. Guitar makers don't make these.
Yeah.
There isn't one that I could find. I did look, and I could not find one.
So fan fret, what does that term mean?
Okay, just in a short sentence, your frets are at an angle, and they are straight. As you go up the neck, you see that they actually increase in progression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A lot of the reasoning for that is guitarists who play in low tunings, the more the string, the more the resonance, and the more room the wave, the more room that the string has to vibrate. And okay. So when you have these lower tunings, you can really come out and your tone comes out.
Probably. You'll hear it referred to as multi-fret, or yeah. Multi-scale. The top string is 25 and a half inches long, the bottom string is 27 and a half inches long. So that's where that term comes mm-hmm. from. And both guitars have the same arrangement on them.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one that you made, this black one that's got the claw marks in mm-hmm. it, that's really beautiful, by the way. What did you do differently on the second one than you did on the first one?
Well, the first one was built like a conventional guitar. It has a conventional body, as you see. The electronics are a little bit different. They're on my own custom electronics. Mm-hmm. This one has totally different electronics in it,
mm-hmm.
or the lack of. And this guitar has is pretty much a standard body, as you can tell. It's my own design, but it's laid out like a lot of the guitars are.
Mm-hmm.
It's really flat, and it doesn't have much crown to the strings. The radius on the strings are about 15 inch. And for him to play, he wanted to get into playing the bow with his guitar to make different noises mm-hmm. and tones. And it was very difficult with the bow to use that, because the body was interfering with that. The first guitar was built for the purpose of giving him the sound and tone that he wanted, because we put specific pickups in there. Mm-hmm. And then the body was of course, my design, fitted with a right-handed fan fret neck.
Mm-hmm.
The claw marks was just an added feature. They're glow-in-the-dark, too.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So the switches from a classic guitar are different, too. Those look different than most guitars.
Conventional guitars, yeah. I mean, so the roll knobs that he designed, like that's my pickup selector instead of a blade switch, like we're there. But these roll knobs allow me to just change what I need when I need it. So I can just sit there and just roll it real quick and then go back to playing.
So no whammy bar, nothing like that? Just you don't like to play with it, or it wouldn't work well with...
He was not a big fan of tremolos. They're difficult to, sometimes they can be difficult to set up and to tune your guitar in properly.
Mm-hmm.
And the type of playing that he was doing, he didn't actually need that.
Mm-hmm.
He can bend strings, so forth and so on, to get the effects that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the type of music that he makes, we couldn't see the need to add that feature.
Yeah. Right.
8-string versus 7-string versus 6-string. Okay. Is 8-string just your favorite?
No, I have a 6-string. I can play a 7-string. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, that one's actually set up in more for 7-string than it is for 8-string, because I'll play multiple tunings and stuff. For me, the only reason why 8-string came into like the way it did with me was, you know, for me, how do you explain that? When you know, and so I remember going into Guitar Center and seeing an 8-string and kind of being like, whoa, that's kind of cool. And then my eye just caught it. And so I picked it up and I put it down. It just felt good. And when it felt good, it just made sense. So once I understood why it made sense, you know, through tunings, you know, how you set up your tunings, it just feels like a normal guitar to me.
Would it have been easier in the making process or the manufacturing process to make a 6-string? Were there challenges to make the 8-string? That you wouldn't have with a 6?
Not that much more, no. You're only adding 2 more strings. There isn't that much difference, no.
I think possibly pickup options.
The pickup options are challenging for these guitars, but that would be the only thing that really presented any kind of an issue or a challenge.
So if I were to go to Guitar Center and get an 8-string guitar, would the neck be about the same width? Is there any
probably
modifications?
Most of them would be about the same, yes.
So is that the challenge with the pickups, is getting something wide enough, or?
Well, in this particular case, these pickups are angled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something you just pick up a catalog and call a pickup person and they just have them in stock. They actually don't. Most of the time, pickups like these will either come from the factory on a guitar that's made that way, or you have to have them custom made. In this particular guitar, we had these custom made. Mm-hmm. I called up, or had someone I knew call up Bare Knuckle, and they ordered these for me. Mm-hmm. They're willing to make them for me.
Tell me the first time you saw guitar number one, Cody. How did that go? Were you there like all along when it was being built? And
yeah, he would bring it by. He'd bring it by because, you know, a lot of the, like, how the body was put together, because this isn't a solid piece of wood. Like, that is a solid piece of wood for the second one, but the first one is two. And so, like, he did a lot of research in how resonance is captured within the body of the guitar. So, you know, the neck here, like...
Well, the general layout, because he's left-handed, and the way I was doing the electronics, we got together several times in order to, like anything you're building for somebody, you don't want to just surprise them and go, here, this is what I thought of. I came up several times, and we talked about the different features that he wanted and how he wanted the layout ergonomically. This has mm-hmm. changed a little ergonomically, mm-hmm. where the strap mounts, how mm-hmm. he has the electronics, yeah. The cable actually plugs in from the back of the guitar, but not in the front.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Or in the end.
Because,
to give an example, because everybody always
asks me, why do you put it up there? I was like, because I get a 90-degree cable, and I don't have to worry about pulling it out. Like, it's just there. Like, it's hidden. I don't have to worry about that. And so it just made sense to put it up here and not carve out the bottom side of the guitar where you can, you know, if there's no wood, if there's no density, then you still lose resonance.
Right, that makes sense. That makes total sense.
And even though it's minute and small, it's still there. So, you know, when you hit a chord, like you can feel it, like, resonate, like, really hard in your body. And you're like, whoa, it's got some punch to it.
But these are the features that we discussed and eventually settled on. Mm.
So now that you've made these two, would you ever consider making an acoustic?
I actually would not. There's a reason for that. I do not have the facilities and the equipment to make an acoustic guitar. That's a whole different concept of guitar making. Plus, I have no experience at acoustics. Mm. And someone who makes acoustics, good luthiers, they've been doing it a long time and they know all the intricacies. I really would have no need to do it.
Right. Tell me how it was the first time seeing Cricket play live with the guitar that you made.
It was pretty awesome. The first show I went to was the one that I talked with you at. And I did film it. I had never seen him actually play live before. Seen him play down here in the basement several times. And so to watch him actually perform on stage in a show with the guitar itself, it was pretty good.
I bet.
It was a good feeling. Because he, and the reason being is that he actually finally had the type of guitar he needed to do what he does. Mm-hmm. Because before he's always just had anything he could come up with. A lot of right-handed guitars. But he never had anything that produced exactly the sound he wanted and had exactly the accoutrements that he wanted mm-hmm. and the styling and the ergonomics that he needed mm-hmm. in order to make that all come to bear.
Yeah, and to answer the question you had previously, too, it's like when I saw the guitar for the first time, like, completed, I'm speechless. I mean, I think, what happened? So, like, you know, I'm not a terribly sappy person, but I definitely teared up, like, to have, like, my guitar, my dream come true, you know, like, this is something that I get to have, that
no one in the world has, and your dad made it.
Correct. It's not even the fact that, nobody in the world has these guitars, it's the fact that my dad made it, and so it's like, these are priceless, absolutely priceless.
Is there a third one in the works?
We've discussed it. One of the things that's interesting about his making music, you can go to a guitar store and there's 15 or 20 or 30 or 100 different styles of guitars out there, many manufacturers, and they all make different sounds and different tones. What Cody is looking for is a specific music style and a deliverance of what he wants to deliver. Mm-hmm. And so the guitars that we've made, the Beast, which is the first one, and this one, the Voice, were designed and built for a specific purpose of creating certain tones and music mm-hmm. capabilities.
Yeah, they're completely different guitars. Completely
so
different.
We've accomplished two of those moments already. The Beast is a shredding guitar. It's a stage guitar. Mm-hmm. And it does provide a reasonable quality of music for certain types of the music. Mm-hmm. The Voice, the body is built. If you'll notice, it looks a lot like a violin. It was built that way intentionally.
A cello, technically.
Well, it's built to be used with a bow.
I see what you mean, yeah.
But it's also still a conventional guitar. He can play it just like a guitar.
Yeah.
So it's designed for the purpose of offering different music quality and different tone capabilities. This particular guitar does not have a volume knob, mm-mm. nor does it have tone pots. Mm-mm. It has kill switches and it has selector switch, but that's it. Everything else is monitored and taken care of through his amp.
Mm-hmm. What is the point of the cutout?
That is a sound chamber in the back mm-hmm. to offer a certain level of acoustic sound that comes out of the guitar. It also helps the resonance of the guitar.
Mm-hmm. So like a dobro, for instance, it has that big, you know, the big cutout on the front for sound.
Yes.
Something like that? Mm-hmm.
I think you would say similar, although not trying to duplicate anything that's already been created.
Right.
Because he was using the bow with this, I wanted him to have the ability to have a certain resonance in the guitar. Not real heavy, not a real acoustic, but just a certain amount of resonance to go along with the other arrangements that we have on the guitar.
This one's beautiful. I mean, they're both beautiful, but this one's super beautiful.
Mm-hmm. When he was talking about it, he asked me what the name of this guitar was, I said, I was kind of trying to think of, like, what am I going to name this thing? Because I like the idea of voices, because the voicing in here, the reason why it's multifaceted in voices, I actually am totally down to demonstrate kind of what it does. But it looks like a hot rod to me, so I went with Italian, because Italians make the best hot rods, in my opinion. So La Voce was what I decided on because I didn't want to say The Voice because, you know, they got The Voice TV
right,
show.
Right, right.
Every time you say The Voice, it's trademarked. And so it's just like, okay.
Can you say what the number is, what the sentimental value or whatever of the 432 is?
So the 432, as soon as you say 432, a lot of people get weird because, you know, there's certain tuning methods. So it's like, for example, it just represents hertz rates. Most everybody goes with the A440 hertz. I prefer the 432 hertz. And I know there's a few people in town who also prefer the same. And so it's just something that is a representation to me of the fact that I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And no one's going to tell me no. So it's, you know, Audio Revolution 432. Because it's such a taboo topic among musicians.
So playing with your band with the 432, does it cause any issues with your other bandmates as far as their equipment?
We're all tuned into the same thing. Okay. Equal temperament. Because that's the biggest argument about that, is that any frequency that you tune to in a hertz rate is arbitrary as long as an equal temperament is achieved. I mean, that's typically how it works, so.
You have a close connection with a very famous guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
Has he seen them?
Yes. He has seen them. But since we are, you know, when I assist him with many tasks here and there throughout the day. And so in those tasks, I have a lot of downtime. So I'll practice. And sometimes he'll let me play he's usually always cool with me playing his guitars. But they're his guitars. They're not mine. So it's like, okay, well, I can do things, but I'm trying. Like, I gotta try and figure out how to do more things. So, I take him and I practice my stuff, and you know, he likes them. He thinks they look great.
That's awesome. So, would you say that they have a brand? If I know they have names, but mm-hmm. do you have a brand, a father-son brand that you would put on these guitars, or they're just custom and Crickets?
Well, they're his guitars, obviously. As far as a brand, really there isn't a brand. It's just Curtis Moore. It's just me and I'm the maker, but really not too much emphasis on that because I'm not trying to develop a company. I'm not trying to produce a line of guitars. These are strictly pure custom, one-off, one-made guitars that will never be duplicated again.
If somebody that you felt, I guess worthy is not the right word, but somebody close to Cricket or close to you said, would you make one for me? Would you make a custom one for somebody else?
I would consider it. What I would do is sit down and interview them and find out the motivation, the need, and whether or not it was a warranted situation. It sounds kind of corny, but The fact of the matter is, I wouldn't just willy-nilly make something for somebody for either the purpose or the money. I would want to know that I'm making something for somebody that has a need, it that really wants to experience something.
It seems like it is sort of a labor of love more than necessity. That's what I'm getting from this conversation.
Yeah, I do not have guitar-making facilities. I made these guitars by hand. Doesn't make them extra special. What makes them special is that I made them for my son. Mm-hmm. And I made them specifically for him with his specifications in mind. So that's why they're special, is they're just one of a kind. Again, there will be no duplications of them. And that would have to exist again if I were to make another guitar for someone else.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with the money, because it would cost money to make them, but at the same time, it would have to have the right reasoning for it.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want to talk about with these guitars?
You want to hear it?
Yes, I want to hear it.
All right. Yeah. So that would be like the forward pickup on this one. Obviously, I just woke up and I haven't put a guitar in my hands today, so it'll get better. So the center one would say we use the same clip, right? That and then you move it back, you have that really deep thunderous sound and tone to it. So like that. The kill switches, that's just like going through the pickups, what it sounds like on its own. The kill switches, however, add the so, how do I want to do this? let's see how loud this is. Ooh. You know, so
that's pretty cool.
So.
You had to make them very sturdy for him to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I've been putting them to the test.
I'm sure. It looked like it.
Well, these are not normal kill switches. Again, I'm not trying to duplicate somebody else's instrumentation. These were, we sat down and I showed him what I had. He said, man, that's what I want. They have a different sound value. They have different scratchiness to them. There's mm-hmm. a certain concept to them that actually adds to his music mm-hmm. that I think most musicians would look at that and go, wow, that's a little different. But for Cody, it works well with his music.
Yeah.
And again, it's all custom to design to deliver what he needs.
Mm-hmm. The cool part about the kill switches too is they're not pure kill switches. They still leave a little ring to them. So like, you know, if I'm like, it's muted.
Yeah, they're not a total dead kill.
But that's what I like about it, because if I hold this down,
guitar was to make those different sounds.
You know, and it's funny because the first time I saw you, we're friends, mm-hmm. you know, and I hadn't known what your band was going to be about. I was so surprised by how much ambiance and how much, I guess, fullness and feeling and all of that. Now mm-hmm. I can see why that is sort of necessary mm-hmm. as part of that sound.
And so, yeah, absolutely. Well, so the kill switches have two functions. That's one function. The other function is the one term in music, phase cancellation. And with this, the phase cancellation, what these knobs are able to do and what the switch does is it turns on all of these at the same time, which means this is robbing from those two. But since they're all three connected, to all three pickups, then I can control the phase cancellation. So then this is what that sounds like. So I have to put this in the right position. So it might get a little squealy on me, but I'm trying to keep it from going. Completely scoops and changes the absolute tone. So, like, you know, in that, especially with Eyes of Arcane, you know, we have a lot of sections where we're just chilling. Just, you know? And so that moment, having that kind of ability to kill that off is really cool. Because then, you know... So where am I at here? So whether that switch is on or off, you still get different tones, even when the switch isn't engaged, which is super cool. So just changing that makes a difference. And then there's the back one and then the front one, which makes for different tones. So it's warmer now. You know, if I were like... So, you know,
that kind of... Well, tone values can change so much. That was, I think, one of the reasons he came up with the name for the guitar, the voice, allowing it to be... multi-range, on top of the fact that it's a fan fret, and it has that body shape that allows him now to use the bow, where he couldn't individualize the strings on this one, the Beast. These strings have a 9.5-inch radius mm-hmm. on the strings, which allows him to individualize the strings while he's using his bow.
I see.
A little
okay.
more effectively. Also, the reason for the body shape, which is an arched top, gives him room to move the bow around.
So, Cricket, could you play the bow on this one at all?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, but that one?
It's very limited because it's so flat.
I can only hit the top string or the bottom string.
That makes sense. Okay, I can see that.
So, like... that almost get that Batman vibe to it,
beautiful.
You know? Even though that wasn't even like a good chord, but technically it needed.
But that was the genesis of that.
That, except for the one weird note.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. It was, you know, made my heart and soul feel good. That must feel amazing to you to know that you built that.
I'm very proud of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm still working on it. The bow work is really difficult because there's the bow technique, which I learned from reading a book in college because I took the cello from the college and was like, no one's using this, so I'm taking it to my... apartment, and I'm going to play this.
You know, Cricket, I just covered Baby Metal and The Who,
mm-hmm.
the HU.
So, yeah, oh my gosh, those guys
were
amazing. Yeah,
did you see how they bounced it?
Yes, because they were holding it like this, because I talked to the guys out back afterwards, and they had not really known English until they were in the States. Like, they learned all their English from being in the States.
I watched their videos, too.
And I was watching how they would hold it, and they would go like that, and I was like, that's awesome. Like, so I'm kind of, like, secretly in you know, the shadows, learning kind of how to hold it that way, because I learned how to hold it violin or cello-wise, because the uprightness. But, yeah.
Sounds very Egyptian.
It's got that Middle Eastern tone.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. I am thrilled to see both of these and hear the story behind them.
Yeah, it's definitely blowing my mind. I mean, this guitar has been my hardest guitar to play, and I like the challenge. It's so amazing because there's so many techniques that go into this, from the kill switches to the bow, that it's like every time I pick this thing up, I'm like, oh yeah, I need to work on that. Because there's the thing I love about this guitar is there are calculable tones and there are uncalculable tones. And that's where the knobs in the back come to play. Because the knobs in the back allow me to adjust my pickup height as I play.
they're spin dials.
Yeah. So like if I can take, let's see, let's take the front one. Like you sit there, and I can literally push them all the way up.
Oh,
in.
I see.
And I get some nasty tones. You can all the way up or all the way down.
So again, I'm not a guitar player, and I don't know that much about guitars. Mm-hmm. Is that something that other guitars do as well?
No.
Well, there are a couple of manufactured guitars that feature the ability to adjust your pickup height.
But that's like adjust it and play with it that way.
Yeah.
Not,
you can't adjust it while you're playing, no.
I've been married to two guitar players. I've never seen it before.
So. I'll call it a somewhat of an innovation. It's... Again, went back to the idea that he wanted to be able to change those tones while he was playing. Mm-hmm. Most of these guitars have adjustable pickups on them. You have to use a screwdriver or a tool. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of manufactured guitars, but you have to take them apart to adjust them. You can't adjust them while you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
This one you can.
Yeah. So like...
If you wanted a soft, mellow tone, or you wanted a harsh, sharp tone, he can get either one while he's playing.
Especially when I can pull it. So
that was one of the things that we discussed when we were making the second guitar. Is I wanted a very large range of tone capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the tone itself, but the range from high to low,
mm-hmm.
and all the aspects in between, which is why this was laid out the way it was.
It's such an education on guitars. I mean, besides a basic guitar, this one seems like it does. I couldn't even put a number on. You know, it's got the kill switches, which is unique, and the pickup up and down that is unique. It's 8 strings. Its body is different. It's got the cutout. I mean, it's amazing. It feels like. You know, if Maserati makes one special car a year, you know, that has, you know, the custom for everything, that's what this feels like,
mm-hmm.
from my position.
Yeah, it's crazy to me.
I hope you make a third one, and I...
Well, you asked the question whether it'd be a third one or not. The motivating factor behind that is to what other sounds is he going to be getting into later that a third guitar would represent.
Yeah, so not making it just for the sake of making one, but making one for it.
With intent.
Yeah. Well, he already has 2 8 strings. The next one is probably going to be a 7 string. Similar neck arrangement, because that's what he likes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, a left-handed body, but it will also encompass more than likely a new arrangement of electronics, so he can explore more of his music. We don't know yet. I've got some concepts, but we haven't sat down to talk about it in length yet.
It's amazing. I wanted to take photos for this, to go up, but I almost don't want to because I don't want anybody else to be able to even attempt to duplicate it because they're so special and so...
I mean, even if they were to attempt to duplicate it, you know, I think my dad and I have talked about going with a company and having them build them in this way, but what we did is just create a model for a company to create something
right.
like that. Because, this body doesn't exist. I mean, I coined the frame. It's a lefty neutral because a right-handed guitar player can play it. They just have to deal with all the crap and bullshit that I've had to put up with playing their guitars.
It's going to be inconvenient for a right-handed player to play it.
Right.
The thing that's, again, I'll go back to it as a uniqueness, is that even if someone were to duplicate the guitars as an effort to steal something or to try and create a sales moment, there's nobody to play them. There's no reason to own them if you can't play them.
I mean, technically there is. I mean, look at Eric Gales. I mean, he plays a Stratocaster upside down like I do, and he's a beast of a guitar player. He's fantastic.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as...
The ambience and all of the sounds. And
trying to fit a market where you could sell these guitars, because you'd have to make several of them to turn a profit.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't concern me. If someone wants to rip off my design or try and do something, that's on them, not me. What I've made for Cody is Cody's, and they're unique to him.
Mm-hmm.
And most people have seen them with him, so they already know they pre-existed. And so I don't really worry too much about that.
Cody, in closing, is there anything else you want to say?
I'm in my happy place now because the guitar is in my hands.
I can tell. How about you, Curtis?
I really don't have too much to add. No, I appreciate the interview and
this has been lovely. It's been a great education, but also just a really special like father son thing for me. I mean, just seeing how this came to be and the level of care and love and respect.
I really enjoy watching him play them because he's a very good guitar player. He's very smooth. He's got good music, and so it's a joy for me to watch him play. I get a lot out of that. You've heard some of the stuff he plays, and it's not just some ragged rock and roll, wang and bang. It's very melodic, very soothing, very
touching. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about
emotional music, and I like it.
That's awesome.
It very much.
Oh. Thank you guys both.
Thank you.